Hi everyone, thanks for clicking play. Paul Harper here for ICAS again. Today in our Gold Dust series of interviews, we continue with the Assistant Director of Regulation at ICAS, Susan Finley, who's here now. Hi Susan.
Hi Paul.
So, can you describe, if possible, a typical day in the life of Susan Finley?
Yeah, so as you said, I'm Assistant Director of Regulation at ICAS. A typical day for me, it involves processing licenses for our firms and for our members, so whether that be practicing certificates, audit firm licenses, and also involves in the monitoring of all of our members' CPD within ICAS as well.
Okay, what's your favourite part of your day or your job?
Probably engaging with members. Typically, we can have phone calls from members or firms throughout the day, answering questions or even just helping sort of older members filling their CPD records.
And there's lots of people that are just coming out with their qualification right now who are tuning into these videos for Gold Dust. So let's talk about you and your career.
Yeah.
How did you get to where you are now?
Yeah, so one of those things, maths was my favourite subject at school, so it was a natural progression that I sort of fell into accountancy. I've got a number of relatives who were CAs as well. Went to Strathclyde University, decided that I wanted to work for a Big Four company, applied to Ernst & Young and joined their graduate scheme in their audit department. I trained with EY, reached a qualified stage and decided, do I want to stay or go? Do I want to go out into industry or stay at EY? For me at that point, I drew up my CV, realised I had still had quite a lot of gaps of knowledge, gaps of experience. So decided I'm going to stay on at EY, become manager, and then reassess. And that was just over a year ago, so I then applied to the role that came up at ICAS, and it ticked all the boxes of everything that I love to do.
Okay, but it's a very different day.
Very different.
And is there anything you miss about being with EY at one of the Big Four?
Probably the people. I think, if anything, if you speak to anyone who's worked or does work for EY, they do always say it's the people that makes the company. Probably the technical side of things. However, working for ICAS, I'm still in regular contact with a lot of people from the firm, as we're now essentially monitoring and helping our members, most of which are EY employees as well.
Now, in this series, I've spoken to a lot of people who are CAs and come through, and they said that when they were with firms like that, what you would end up doing is taking the day's problems home with you.
Yes.
So was changing to ICAS, to a non-profit, actually really important because you wanted to address your work-life balance?
It was important for me. I wouldn't say it was working for the Big Four that caused me to sort of dwell on things. I think it was just lack of experience. I was a junior member of staff at the firm at the time, whereby you want to impress, you want to do well. And I think just through gradual life experience, through working on a variety of clients at EY, I was able to focus on the important things. Making the change to ICAS is a completely different role from what I did before. It's less technical and it's focusing more on the people side of the business. And that's a huge thing that I love. So the fact that I'm now doing a job where everyday elements are things I love to do has massively helped with the work-life balance.
And when we talk about people, we've spoken about networking in the past.
Yes.
Do you enjoy networking?
I used to hate it. It used to be one of my weaknesses, the thought of going to an ICAS event or an EY event and standing in a room full of complete strangers petrified me. Mm-hmm. But I identified that as one of my weaknesses. And when I saw the job come up at ICAS, I realised it was an ideal opportunity to work on that weakness and to then make it into a strength. Now, on a daily basis, I'm having to network with members, firms, other ICAS staff, with other institutes, external regulators. So the wide breadth of people I now have to network with on a daily basis is huge, and I've been able to turn a weakness into an area of strength.
I think actually a real strength is being able to admit that there are parts of you that aren't yet perfect, and
yeah,
I can
absolutely
be better at this and I can be better at that. We're nosy and we're finding out the gold dust. What else was on your list of things that you wanted to do better?
Probably people management. My time at EY as an audit manager, I had to manage a variety of different teams, different sizes. And going to ICAS, I would be in charge of one team, one particular team. And that was something that I wanted to get experience of, to get to know staff at a more in-depth level than I had been able to do before. I was aware I was going into a team who'd been there for a long time. So coming in as the new member of staff, been able to embed myself in the team, but also make my mark and try and sort of create efficiencies and improvements within my team as well was a target.
And what tools do you use on ICAS.com?
Yeah, there's various tools. One of the first things I did when I joined ICAST, I did their Moral DNA online tool. It's almost like a personality assessment, so it lets you see what type of person you are. Again, some of your strengths and weaknesses. And it helps you identify how you can best work with a different variety of people, so different personalities. So that was one of the first tools I did.
Is that one of the ones that tells you what type of animal you are?
It wasn't an animal.
Right.
Mine came out as a teacher.
Oh, so you should have been a teacher?
Should have been a teacher, according to this tool, which doesn't surprise me. My mum's a teacher.
And actually, you are going to be doing mentoring.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe it came good. So let's talk about that. Mentoring is obviously really important.
Yes.
But what's made you want to pick up the baton, as you were, and run with it, with the mentoring side?
Yeah, well, with my time at EY, I was a counsellor to some colleagues, and I was also a mentor to school students going through the EY Smart Futures programme. Joining ICAST, it was something that I was keen to continue. I wanted to wait until I had my foot in the door. Recently, I attended the ICAST Masters event, so a golf competition, and I was put on a team with two students from the ICAST Foundation. And that was the first time hearing a hands-on explanation as to how the ICAST Foundation had benefited them personally. Had a huge impact on me, and immediately came back to the office, found out more about what I could do for the foundation, found out more the fact that they have a mentoring program. So you need to be at least 5 years post-qualified. So I'm now 6 years post-qualified, so it was perfect timing for me. So I'm currently going through the process of becoming a mentor.
Okay, so sorry, you're too late if you're just leaving with your qualification now. You're not going to get Susan Finlay time.
No,
but,
not quite.
But anyone that's coming through, then that's headed their way.
Yes, but they also have the sort of the ICAST career mentoring program as well, which could be targeted at any level. I had a mentor through the ICAST mentoring program when I was still at EY, when I was thinking about what career choice I wanted to make, which was very beneficial. And it's something that I will now sign up and do again now that my sort of career goals have changed.
Great. And do you think being a CA, a qualified CA, has made you a more resilient person?
I think the breadth of experience I've been able to get as a CA has made me more resilient. Working for Big Four and now working for ICAST, you do come across challenges on a daily basis, whether that be sort of technical challenges, working with clients, working with difficult deadlines. So it's more the experience and the time of coming through that qualification that has definitely made me more resilient.
For new members, Susan, well, actually for all members, the Power of One is a really important program.
Yeah.
Why is it important to you?
Ethics is something that's sort of been part of my career from the very start. Even back to university, we had to do a careers class. It was a topic of my dissertation. So it's something I've always been aware of. And then joining ICAST, and then recently over the last year, with the Power of One being a big push, it's something that we're seeing coming up more and more in discussions within the company. And with the Power of One, it's trying to encourage members to have that moral courage to stand up for what's wrong, to encourage ethics within their own sort of day-to-day practices and also within their companies as well.
And since this whole series of interviews is called the Gold Dust series,
yes,
if you could go back in time and talk to Susan Finlay when she was just coming out with her qualification,
yeah,
or to everyone else watching right now, what would be the one, or if there's more, mm-hmm, gold dust nugget of information that you'd say, do this, do that, make sure you try this?
I would say the key thing that worked for me was the point that I was thinking, I've got my qualification, I must now move on, I must go into industry. It was sitting down, trying to write up my CV and thinking, how can I sell myself? Identifying what your weaknesses were and then seeking out those opportunities that resolve those weaknesses and then make them into a strength. And the one key piece of advice that someone gave me was one of the partners at EY at the time who I'd worked with very closely had always said, always be a good leaver. Never leave your current job with any sort of animosity. It's like, although the accountancy profession is a huge profession, it's very much a small world. You will always come across people you've worked with before that you might need to work with again. You might actually have to go back to them for resources. And it's something I've witnessed working at ICAST. I'm still in regular contact with a number of partners at the firm, a number of colleagues who have moved on into industry themselves, and I'm now having to sort of go through their sort of monitoring within their new firms. So you never escape sort of from your previous employer. So always being a good leaver, never burn bridges is the key piece of advice I took on board.
Well, in the theme of not burning bridges, Susan, thank you so much. That
thank
was
you.
Great hearing your insights. Folks, thanks for watching, and please check back for more Gold Dust videos soon.